Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So all my life, I've been fascinated by magic. I wish I could do magic. I wish I had that ability, because to me, it's just kind of this awesome sight to be seen when people are able to do magic tricks, pulling things out of where things shouldn't be pulled out of, and doing incredible things. And recently, I got blessed going to a ministry training conference, and one of the main stage speakers that they had was a Christian illusionist. That did illusions for us and then talked about our role as pastors and where wonder and awe is in our ministry and in particular in our preaching. And I got to go to one of the workshops that he was leading on preaching, and we were blessed because one of the things he did for us is he helped us to learn how to be illusionists. And he didn't really teach us how to do one of the things he had done, because you're not allowed to reveal your tricks and you can't teach people. But by doing it a number of times, we all went from this wonder of how'd he do that to all of a sudden this moment of, oh, that's how he does it. How did I not see that before? So this morning, I would like to try to put you in wonder and awe of my magical abilities, okay? Are you game? And if you were in Bible study and I did this with you, please just try to be in wonder and awe instead of a, oh, we've seen this before. So the first thing, this is interactive, so I need you all to stand up. See, look, I'm already a magician. I got you all to rise, right? All right, so now what I need you to do is put your hands up like you're praising God, okay? Or stretch if that's what you need to do. Now put them straight out. It could be because you just really want a hug from the person in front of you. It could be that you're still dreaming about that Thanksgiving turkey. Or it could just be, you know what, God, come right here because this is where I need you. But we're going to put our hands out. And then, super simple, we're going to cross our arms. Oh, look at this. You guys are so good at following directions, okay? So now what you're going to do, this is where it gets tricky, okay? Ready? You're going to turn your hands towards each other, okay? All right, was everybody able to turn them? Okay, and now join them together. Okay, it's like the most awkward praying hands in all the world, right? Dear God, how did I turn into a pretzel? But now to see if you're doing it right, you know, wiggle your fingers, okay? Let's see them wiggling. Oh, look at all of these wiggles over here of what you're doing, okay? Now, okay, here's where it really gets tricky. Ready? All right, now turn your hands so that your thumbs go straight up. Did you do it? You know, it was just a simple needing to turn, right? Are you all in awe of my magical abilities now? Can we get an applause? All right, you can sit. Choir, did any of you get it to be able to turn? Mimi. That means you probably did it wrong. But now, you see, here's the thing. When it comes to magic, when it comes to illusion, and I have to tell you, I was on YouTube this week looking up different tricks I could do for you, and until I realized the trick would take up the whole sermon time, and God wouldn't get his time. But anyways, so when there's magic, when there's illusions, we really have two options of how we react, right? The first can be wonder and awe, okay? Getting to be a child again for that moment in just amazement of what's been done, okay? That's kind of silly that I could turn my hands, but here I'm watching this man by the name of Harris III, okay? He's from Tennessee, Harris III. You have to be from Tennessee to be called Harris III. But Harris III, here he was elevating tables, and he even made it snow in worship for us. And it was just this kind of glee-filled moment of wonder that we got to have. And any time that you get to be around magic, you can have that kind of wonder. How are they cutting that person in half? How are they walking on water? How are they making it so that my card is the one that appears and it's no longer all torn up? We're allowed to have our minds just relax and enjoy the moment and the mystery of what's before us. And what does that produce? Joy. Right? But then we have the other option. We can have the other option where instead of being in wonder, it's, all right, how'd they do that? I know that they're tricking me. Okay, what is the sleight of hand that they're doing? How were they hitting the car? How were they hiding that car? Is there clear posts that are under that water that they're walking on? The other side is, I have to nitpick it and figure it out because I just can't be in disbelief. I have to know how it happens, right? What is it that they did? Well, I tell you, like I said, when Harris III showed us how to do that trick, we began in wonder and awe of what he was able to do. But once he showed us, we all kind of felt dumb. We knew the trick, but we kind of felt dumb because we didn't get it the first time. We didn't see how it was that he tricked us in the illusion. And that's not the place I want to be in. I want to be in that moment of wonder. I want to be back in that sanctuary, getting so excited about the snow that's falling on me and just having that break from the stresses and reality of life and have that moment with God to say, God, you're magical because you're the one that's doing all this. And that's where we come to our story this morning. Where do we start this Advent season? But essentially, we're starting the Advent season at the end of the story. Because the Magi is the end of the story, right? And I'll admit to you, I grew up loving the Magi. Why? Because three kids in the church got to wear crowns and be kings for a day. I always wanted to be a king, but I was always told I can't be a king because I'm a girl and the kings are boys, right? Yep, I grew up in a sexist kind of church, right? But I never got to be a king. But then I went to seminary, right? And what happens in seminary, but we start picking the scriptures apart, right? And what happens in seminary, it's no longer the excitement about the kings that get to come and they bring the presents and here's where the gold is in the story. But it was, wait a second, what do you mean the Magi came 2 years later? What do you mean they never made it to the stable? You mean Jesus wasn't this itty-bitty baby when they got there? And they weren't kings? You can change the whole story on me? They're not kings. They're wise men. They're magi. They're seers. They're astrologists. And all of a sudden, the story has changed. And so what happened? But my view of the Christmas story changed in the meantime. All of a sudden, I'm looking at creches, and no longer am I excited about all the pieces, but I'm going, they got kings in that one. They're not supposed to be kings in that one. Wait a second, they're supposed to be way over there because it took them 2 years to get there. What happened, I had to realize just in the last weeks of realizing what I had done was not educate myself on the story, but I had taken away a piece of the wonder and awe of God's greatest story. From what Harris did on that stage, having a chapter in our Ragamuffin Gospel that talked about needing to be in wonder, having this curriculum that we're doing for the next 4 weeks talking about the wonder of Christmas, having to get back into reality and thinking, what's the point of the Christmas story? And where do I want my role to be in that? Do I want to be the one that's in awe of that whole picture, that sees everything together and realizes that it's God's love bundled up with a bow on top for me and for my life? Or do I want to be the one picking apart the story and having to point out the details that loses some of the wonder in it? For the Magi, it was about the wonder and following. See, they saw that star. There they were off in the far east. We don't know much about them. It doesn't tell us their backgrounds. It doesn't tell us if they were Jews. It doesn't tell us if they were believers in God. All we know is there were these magi, these seers, these ones that studied the stars, and they saw the star, and they knew they were supposed to follow it. They didn't ask the questions. They didn't say, how are we going to afford the journey? They didn't say, which route does the GPS tell us to take that avoids the camel traffic? There aren't those. See, finally somebody got it. It wasn't about those questions. What was it about for them? But they saw the star, and they obeyed the sign that it was. and they followed God's call to go to see the miracle of birth. They had obedience. They had courage. They had faith. They had wonder and awe that took them on the greatest journey of their lifetime. How am I one to try to take that and put it 2 years later? See, Matthew saw the importance of it. We've got four gospel stories: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark doesn't touch the birth at all. John doesn't touch the birth at all. That leaves us with Matthew and Luke. And Luke tells the full shebang. Getting to that stable is the point of his story. The angel talking to Mary and the angel talking to Joseph and riding the donkey to get there, taking that adventure. The angels talking to the shepherds and the shepherds and the animals and getting to that scene of that manger with all the most important people around it. That's Luke's crux of the story. He never once mentions the Magi. But then we've got Matthew. Matthew, no mention of a donkey, no journeys to Bethlehem, no inns without room, no donkeys, no shepherds. What does he say? But Joseph decides to marry Mary before she has Jesus. And the Magi went to where Jesus had been born. He skips right to the Magi. To him, their presence and their witness is the crux of the story. So here we begin with the obedient Magi. And where do they go on this adventure? But they stop at Herod's. They stop at Herod's and they give him the good news. There's a star in the sky from God, and it shows us where the King of the Jews has been born, and we are going there. And what does the scripture text tell us? But when the Magi give that information, it says Herod starts shaking in his boots. And who else does it say? It says all of Jerusalem starts shaking in their boots. Why? Because they've pulled back the curtain to see the wizard. They've pulled it back because what do they see? They see the word king. And what's behind the word king? But behind the word king is power. And that was the number one thing that Herod wanted. He wanted power over people. And he couldn't get enough. So he was shaking in his boots thinking there was competition. And so he sent the Magi and he said, you go find where that child is and you report back to me so that I can worship him as well. Where really he's saying, tell me where he is so I can take out the competition. There are those in this world like Herod. Those where the things of this world are the most important. And how do I get more? Because there's never enough. There's a struggle in that state of mind to see the majesty and wonder of God's story, because God's story is outside this world. God's story doesn't bring us power. God's story doesn't bring us wealth. God's story doesn't bring us success. But God's story, we're reminded by these candles, brings us hope, peace, love, and joy. And how can anything in this world be greater than those? Greater than the life that Savior offers us. So here we stand at the beginning of this Advent season, absolutely the adventure season. And we ask ourselves right here and right now, before this table that reminds us of the final chapter of Christ's story, are we here to be in wonder and awe of what God's story is, what God did for us, and what God's doing for us each and every day? Do we have wonder in the sunrise and the sunset? Do we have wonder when the rain falls, wanting to put on our boots and splash in the puddles? Do we have wonder when we're feeling lost or lonely or hurting, and we seek God and he comforts us and heals us? till we have wonder and awe of the love that's felt around us and the blessings that are in our life. Till we have wonder and awe of what's about to happen in that manger in just 3 weeks on Christmas morning. There's power and there's magic in that story. And the stars shining bright and God saying, take this time, journey with me, and let me show you where love is bundled up and ready for you. My friends, will you pray with me? God, what you do in our lives is just unexplainable. It's unexplainable how you could create this whole world. It's unexplainable how you could make each of us just who we are. It's unexplainable of what you do in our lives each and every day. And it's completely unexplainable of why the creator of all the earth would take the form of a baby and live in this world for us and to die so that we could be with him for eternity. Help us to see the wonder of this story. Help us to be in awe every day about the things that are most important in this life. Help us to see the fullness of what you have done, and may we dance with joy at what it means. For all this, Lord, we lift in your most holy name. Amen.